grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word, protect and comfort them in times of trial, defend them against all enemies of the gospel, and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire.
Be still, then.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Glory to God.
A reading from Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith, apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever.
So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Do you read the Lutheran magazine? This is the the November issue, so I'm ahead of myself a little bit. But this magazine had a couple articles that really caught my attention. One of them is called "Singing a New Tune," and our Synod Bishop Murray Fink is quoted in this article. And also, the picture here is taken at Calvary Lutheran Church in San Diego. This is about this article is about the number of languages that are spoken in worship in throughout the Lutheran Church. In our synod, every Sunday there are services and prayers being prayed in 17 different languages. In Calvary Lutheran, not that Calvary Lutheran. Calvary Lutheran in San Diego. I'm not sure, in the Claremont area? That church has an African community in three different languages, and they have a couple other different languages as well. So every Sunday at Calvary Lutheran, there's five languages spoken. English and Spanish, and then the three African languages. They have found that for their fellowship time, French works best. Go figure. The other article that really caught my attention here is the first article in the magazine, and Peter Marty is writing this this series, and it's about worship in the church, and this one was on the sermon. And so I perked up my ears and my eyes and read this article, and he says, people only want one thing, tell the truth. Well, our scripture today gives us, no, I didn't mean to discard that. I just couldn't balance it. I'm taking that to heart. Our scripture today tells us two very important truths. And the first one is a hard truth. You know, sometimes people tell you the truth and you don't really want to hear it. It wasn't like that, but sometimes the truth, we say that sometimes the truth hurts. Well, Jesus comes to us in our scripture today with a truth that hurts. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now that's a truth we don't like to hear. Jesus is not kidding about this. He is pointing right at you, saying, you are a slave to sin, and pointing right at me. You are a slave to sin. But this isn't just about our individual sins, the hardness of our hearts. It's also about our whole broken, messed up world. This is the sin that enslaves us. This is the sin that is woven into our existence. We can hardly make a purchase, clothing, gas, whatever, without compromising or having had compromised somebody somewhere in the world. Our world is so messed up and broken. As St. Paul says in that second reading, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the first truth in today's scripture. We are slaves to sin. We can pretend all we want. We can say, okay, every time someone asks how we're doing, but that doesn't change the truth that we are not okay. We are not living up to the image, to the vision that God has for us. And we know it. Of course we try, but in the end we know that we are not able to save ourselves. We are sinners. We are held kidnapped, desperate to hear the second truth, the truth about God's great love for us. And that truth comes loud and clear in the first reading that we heard from the prophet Jeremiah, God says to the people of Israel, and so to us, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That's the truth. Despite everything, God doesn't just forgive, but God forgets. God has severe memory loss, and he just can't remember when it comes to our sin. God regards us as perfect. God looks at us as blameless, as whole. The truth is, when God looks at us, his precious baptized children, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. It's in our baptism that our old self, that self that is in bondage to sin, that self that is enslaved, that self has been drowned, and it's new life that is given, new life, life with God. Did anyone get wet during the sprinkling? Who felt water during the sprinkling? That is a reminder that you have been drowned, that the old self lives no more, that you have been raised to a new life with Christ. We need to be reminded of that. We need to hear that truth over and over again because it's hard to believe. That's why we begin every Sunday service standing at the font, remembering the cross of Jesus that is indelibly marked on our forehead, the cross that God sees when God looks at us, remembering the decision that God has made about us, the decision that God made to love you unconditionally. And that's the truth that makes you free. That's the truth that was at the heart of those 95 theses that Luther nailed to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. A little aside, earlier this month when I was there, I looked for those famous doors. But alas, like all kinds of things that were built in the 1400s, there's been some renovation done. In the 1800s, in the middle of the 1800s, those wooden doors were taken down, probably because of 500 years of opening and closing, or 400, or however many years those doors had been there. And they've been replaced with brass doors that have inscribed on the brass doors the 95 theses. So there's writing on the doors. They're just gorgeous. The writing is in Latin, so I guess in the 1800s, that was more of a common language across the world that people from all different places in the world could read. I just knew it was the 95 Theses. I didn't try to translate anything. It's debated whether Luther actually nailed anything to the door. Well, he couldn't if they were brass, but this was before. This was while they were still wooden doors. But what is true that we know for certain is that on October 31st in 1517, Luther wrote these 95 theses and had them delivered to the archbishop, inviting the church to reform, inviting the church to dialogue. We continue that. 500 years later, we continue to be the reformed and the reforming church. We continue to invite people into dialogue to talk about what does it mean to be a baptized believer? What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to be a Christian in the world today? Martin Luther knew this truth, that we are sinners from birth to death, sinners that no amount of indulgences, no amount of good works, no amount of our actions could ever redeem. We are sinners so bound by our fears and by our insecurities that only God can redeem us, that only God can forgive us. And this is the truth that makes you free, because God has forgiven, God has redeemed, God has made a decision about you. We are the sinners for whom Christ died. We are the sinners who drowned in the waters of baptism and now are free. And we are free to love and to serve our neighbors. We are free to care for the poor. We are free to give witness to the gospel in the world. We are free to help those in need. We are free to share all that we have and all that we are, no matter what. We are the sinners who, having died with Christ, will also rise with him to the glory of God. This is the truth. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. I want to thank the 5 young people who will be confirmed in a few moments, who will stand before us, because they are reminders for us today, and indeed at lots of other times as well as today. They are good reminders of us, of the truths that they will profess in our midst. God has claimed us in baptism and made us his own. God's mercy and forgiveness has given us new life, eternal life with him. We are free to continue in that love relationship that was started in baptism, is affirmed today, and is lived out every day in our lives. Amen.